with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Movie Night Podcast with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. How you guys doing? Each week, we watch a movie, and then we talk about it. Ta-da!
Dwayne, I can just sense your enthusiasm. It's really contagious.
Yeah.
This week, our special guest, you've seen him on Fallon. He was on this past season of Last Comic Standing, and he just had a brand new album come out in August called Hot Doggin'. Dave Waite.
Woo, hot dogging.
Woo! How's it going, man? What you been up to?
It's good to be here in your personal theater.
Oh, right? It's fancy. We can't take credit for any of this. This is, we stumbled ass backwards.
I was trying to make it like that we were like in your home movie theater.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Do a theater of the mind thing.
Don't shatter the illusion, Dave. None of us watch the movies together. We all sit isolated in our own.
I would have came watched it with you guys. I would have just like hanging out with people.
Very nice. It's like, look, I'm just looking for shit to do. That's why I'm here.
Well, the thing is, I never even thought of that as a possibility, that we have a home theater.
I worry if you get three comics sitting in a room watching a movie, no one is going to pay attention to the actual movie. It'll only be using up all the jokes in person that we would wind up using on here.
Yeah.
And then us trying to recreate the jokes.
I don't even like watching movies with myself.
Right.
I can't get out of my own head enough to stop making fun of everything I watch.
Yeah, it's extremely tough.
Thank you.
It's good to see you, Dave. It's good to have you here. And I guess, I don't know. I know we did Cincinnati, but I felt like we worked somewhere before that. Like
Virginia Beach.
Yeah, the beach, son.
The
beach, yeah. I enjoyed Virginia Beach. That was fun. Funny Bone.
Yeah, Funny Bone. We had a good time together. We kicked it.
I think I actually listened to one of the Cincinnati sets recently.
No shit? What for? Yeah. Just to see if you still got it?
You know what I do is sometimes I'll listen to an old set. And I just learned from it more than even sometimes like the night before a set, because it's sort of like it's so far away that I can really hear it objectively.
Yeah, you get that distance. Like,
yeah.
And then sometimes I'll go back. I mean, it's been a while, but I'll go back and I'll be like, oh, what happened to that joke?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's like a joke that you're like, man, I was telling that thing. It was starting to come along. And then you just somehow got out of the mix.
Yeah. It's crazy how that happens.
Like, no, I get that. I feel like especially if you listen to a recording the day after, it's like it's useless because you're still so familiar with that set. You're just kind of reliving it in your head, like what some asshole in the audience was doing during that moment in the set. And you don't really listen.
Well, you can sometimes come up with a good tag, but you're not ready to sort of like understand what was really happening versus what you thought was happening.
Yeah.
It's amazing when I listen to a set and I'm like, I thought I was bombing, but it was fine. Or I thought I was rocking.
Yeah, a lot of times.
And I wasn't rocking.
Yeah. A lot of times there's more laughs when I'm like, oh, man.
Completely.
I think it's always, always worse in your head in the moment where it's like, God, I ate shit. And then you listen to it and it's like, ah, that was okay. That was not that bad. I'm just a fucking lunatic.
But then you understand why the audience was looking at you like you were crazy.
Especially
those times where you attack them. And they're like, dude, we're having fun.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck you guys. And they're like, why are you doing this?
The classic.
I try to just look at people's... I don't look at them too often because it freaks me out if I look at their faces. But if I could tell, if I look at them and I know it's like they're tired, like that late show.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden it feels like the bottom dropped out. And I look at them and I'm like, oh, they're still having fun.
Yeah.
They just want to go to bed.
Yeah, it's just not audible fun. It's like they're smiling and nodding.
That's an easy... Like, early on, that was, like, a mistake where I'd fucking snap at him or something like that. And now I'm like, oh, everybody's still having... Because sometimes I will talk to, like, the feature on the show or whoever, or, like, whoever's open, and they'll be like, oh, they were kind of... And I'll be like, yeah, they were fine. They were just tired.
Completely, that happened. Yeah, like, the more you do it, the later on the show that you know, from opening to middling to headlining, you do gain that perspective.
Yeah.
And when I'm headlining, because it's 45 minutes and it's... People are getting checks and they're ordering drinks. Like, I don't have time to deal with certain things. So, like, if people aren't smiling, I kind of don't come back to them. Like, I don't make eye
contact
with them.
You're dead to me now.
Well, I'll look, like, right above their heads.
Yeah.
So to make it seem like I'm not afraid of them. But I'm like, I can't have that bad mojo up in my space. And it happened over the weekend. These girls were sitting front row. And I know everyone was looking at them, you know, table of black girls, pretty black girls, front row. And it's kind of like looking, it kind of half into it, you know?
Yeah.
After the show, they walk by, they say hi, and I'm like, yeah, they went into it. They come back in from the parking lot. They all want to take a picture with me. 2, 3, 4 pictures. They're all shaking like a leaf. And I'm like, wow, I got to I didn't get a read on that at all. Like,
but sometimes if people are in the light, it freaks them out.
Yeah.
I think audience members sometimes
because if you're in that front section of some comedy clubs, essentially you're on stage.
Yeah.
They're so visible that they're more horrified. Like, they're enjoying it, but they can't. They're afraid, like, if I laugh and I laugh weird, he's going to make fun of me.
Or if they get up or they do anything.
Yeah.
They're like, stone still. Don't say anything. Don't move. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, and I felt like, oh, man, I should have engaged them a bit more. But I didn't, like, ignore them. But I just sort of, like, bad mojo, table six, you know. So, Dave, what else... we were talking outside about your CD. I don't know if it's a CD, actually.
It's a CD.
Okay. They're no longer made into physical objects.
No, it's still a CD. I like being able to hold something, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you said you made iTunes. That's great. That's amazing. The top 100?
Yeah. He ranked highly. Not just he got onto iTunes.
I just sounded like a grandfather. So I hear you've got iTunes on your computer.
I hear you made iTunes.
Yeah, I mean, like before it came out, I was like, if it doesn't get in the top 150, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know why. I just felt like it was just a reflection of like that means nobody cares. You know what I mean? You ever had that weird thing where you put so much effort into a thing, and then if nobody responds to it, then you're like,
okay. But let me adjust that thinking. Okay, if I can be your life coach just for like one second. No, it's not that nobody cares. It's that nobody knows.
Right.
So then you have to make sure that they know.
Yeah. I mean, I did a ton of podcasts leading up to it. And then I did, you know, the Twitter. I did the Twitter and the Facebook. And, I mean, I wish I...
Really thinking outside the box there.
I wish there was like an adult... I mean, there probably is like a marketing class... Like, I would take that.
It's so hard, though, to gauge now because it seems like every time there's to market stuff, then it's so
it gets
useless
swallowed up really
a month
fast.
Later and there's
yeah.
something new that's replaced.
Yeah, you got to think out. Yeah, you can't wait. You don't want to think out. You don't even want to say think outside the box because that's fucking.
That's thinking inside the box.
Yeah.
You got to be like.
You got to, like, find a circle.
You got to face fuck the internet.
Yeah. What you really need is a famous friend.
Yes.
That's really...
Get them to retweet that shit.
Oh, yeah.
But you're happy with how it came out?
Yeah, it sounds dope. And, you know, I got an interesting review of this guy. He called me. He goes, Dave White's a flyover hipster, which I was like, oh, I guess. And then,
because you're from the Midwest?
Yeah. And he goes...
Wow.
And he goes, if you don't live near the coast, you'll think this guy's hilarious. Which I was like, I don't know what that means.
That's a not so veiled insult. That's bullshit.
But then he goes, this CD is devilishly fun. And I was like, oh, okay.
Because I thought you were shitting on me.
It feel like he felt conflicted about liking it.
But it sounds like he puts like this guy doesn't even listen. He just puts words into a random word generator. Like he puts keywords into a generator, and then they just spit out.
Yeah. It's flyover hipster.
A flyover hipster. That's. But to me, even though it seems a little condescending, it's even better, right? Because that means it's sort of like if you live in Russia, right, and you know everything about hip hop from the early days. It's like, how did you even do that? You know. So, like, a flyover hipster means you're an individual. It doesn't, because everybody comes to LA and they become a hipster, because what else are they going to do, right? So,
Dwayne's really reaching to help
this
guy.
I mean, there was the part of it was like, I took away was like, he thought I was that's a tough word.
It is.
Devilishly fun.
It's not a word you ever say in real life, that's why.
And then it was like, he was like, this guy knows how to entertain the middle of America, and that's where a lot of people live. And also, I kill it in Santa Monica, and that's real close to the beach.
So you're a coast
guy.
That's
as far from middle America as you can possibly get.
You know
get.
What it sounds like? And this is something that gets my goat up. Can I say that? Is that something that you can say? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I think it's get your goat, but
yeah, my goat. It gets his goat, erect.
I'm trying to be like. Here's the thing. Basically, what he's saying, if I'm going to decode it, and because you are funny, and he knows you're funny, but he's trying to take points away because he detects some sort of polish. So whenever you have polish, it's like, oh, middle America will love this guy because he's not meandering, but he's super smart. So I have to also say he's a hipster. How do I get around this?
Yeah.
How do I get around the fact that this guy's a professional comic that's been doing it, that knows how to do the job? And you don't have to apologize for that. You don't have to apologize for having a little bit of polish to what you do, you know, like, and the, especially when you have polish and you're smart. But this guy, I think sometimes it's sort of like, I don't know, it's a kiss of death if it seems like the fact that people from one part of the country might like you. Does that mean people from another part of the country are supposed to not like you? That's ridiculous.
No, it is. Yeah. I think people are under the impression that of exactly that. Like, well, I can't like him because he does well in these places. And that's fucking absurd. I think that's just, I mean,
I think ultimately, you know, you don't want to pander or cater.
Yeah.
Right.
But I feel like the more people you're funny to is ultimately a positive thing.
You would think, right?
There's definitely a thing that is being broad while still being very funny and having a broad appeal. But I do think people have started in comedy, especially comedy critics, whatever the fuck that is, have started to really kind of bow at the feet of guys who are very niche but have gotten popular, like Patton Oswalt, who's fucking great, but you could never accuse him of pandering to a broad crowd.
Right.
But it's like there's an opposite side of the spectrum that's still fucking amazing.
But I would never, like, I just go up there and talk about what I want to, and if
you do your thing, yeah.
I've learned how to make him come along.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And that's the thing he's not giving you credit for. You're not pandering. It's just sort of like you're just bulletproof. And then once you get to be bulletproof, then people want to take points away. Yeah. But you got bulletproof doing you. You know, it's not like...
There was plenty of times where I ate a dick and somebody would be like, this guy's pretty alternative. Right. this guy's real out there.
There's
like... I remember when I first started, it was just like comedians in the back of the room losing their mind, you know?
Right.
And then the rest of the audience didn't give a shit. They were like, boo. Right.
He's bad.
This guy would have saw you then, he would have been like, this is the guy. You know what
I mean? I just figured out how to try to combine both, you know?
Yeah.
You have to. That's what it's about. I don't know. I have no idea
launch
how to transition into the movie. I don't even think it's possible.
I admire you.
I don't think it's possible.
Swain always tries to transition. I admire that. Just do it.
Well,
man.
You know what? Well, here's the thing. There is a place that we all know where all of America goes to party. They go for entertainment, and when you make it there as an entertainer, you know that you can fully entertain America. And that place is Las Vegas.
Las Vegas,
absolutely.
And if you were going to make a movie and it was your last time going to Vegas, you might call it Last Vegas.
You might. It might not be the best idea, but you might call it that. That is our movie this week. Last Vegas, 2013, directed by John Turteltaub, starring Robert De Niro, Michael Douglas, Morgan Freeman, and Kevin Kline. How did we feel about this, guys?
Here's what I'll tell you. I went in with the low expectations, and the expectation was that it was a movie.
Yes, that is.
That's funny.
It cannot be denied that it is a movie.
I didn't hate it. You know what I mean? I kind of.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah.
I didn't hate it. You know,
not the worst movie I've ever seen.
It wasn't even a terrible movie, really, to be honest. It was just like, this is all right. And I can see how, you know, it was.
To me, it was like, if I was watching it, I watched it in a coffee shop. But as I was watching it, I just thought, this is an airplane movie. This is a movie that if I watch it on an airplane, I'm so stoked. You know what I mean? I'm eating chips or whatever. I got a ginger ale. I thought it was going to be bad. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It was just tight. It was like, we're not going to break any new ground.
No.
We're going to do everything you expect, but we're going to do it well. And there's something to be said about execution, I feel. Like all the jokes hit, it's solid, it's, you know, it moves.
And by the jokes, you mean the things that the old guys said that old guys shouldn't be saying.
Right.
I don't know if they were really, like, I would like to read this script and have all the characters be in their 20s. And realize there are no jokes in this film. That was what got me a little bit. Everything was predicated on like, oh, he's old. That's a naughty thing to say. He said balls.
Now, you know, now that you bring that up, it's like, now there's a, can I riff?
We do require that you ask permission before riffing, but because you're a gentleman, riff away. A
couple of my takeaways. First off, I was like, oh, man, I miss Kevin Kline, man. Where's that guy been?
He was great.
He was great.
And he was the funniest one,
He was the funniest one. Yeah. And he's the one guy that's actually been a comedic actor. And then it was nice seeing Morgan Freeman not being like a wise old black guy.
Right.
He wasn't like some sage. He was just like old. And I was like, that is a big departure for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he always plays old, but he has something to say.
Well, that's not a choice.
But he's always like, he's like the plot explainer a lot of times.
He
And you know what? He could have been in this movie 20 years ago. That's the crazy thing about
it. Yeah, he's been the old guy for a long time. But he wasn't like a, like how he wasn't a scientist or a fucking, you know, he wasn't.
He wasn't God. He wasn't.
He was just a dude. And I was like that. You know, what was the weird thing? It was like De Niro was like the wise old guy in this one. He was a wise guy.
Oh.
Nicely done. Very nice.
But he played like the Morgan Freeman sort of role.
Yeah, he did. I think it's because he never left Brooklyn, so he had that like Brooklyn wisdom, if that's such a thing.
He played such a Robert De Niro character.
Yeah,
that they were like, all right, we got De Niro for this comedy. What can we have him be? Let's have him be a fucking old curmudgeon. That's all. Yeah. And he was like, you know, permanent scowl on his face. Even I think my favorite part of this movie is the opening credits where they show them all as little kids. And they get a kid who looks like remarkably like De Niro, which was great.
With that stupid birthmark.
In the little photo booth that they're taking these snapshots, they just had this kid actor just do like De Niro face the whole time. Yeah. Like, this is not a face a child would make ever. He's just kind of frowning, eyes squinted the whole time. This kid is overacting De Niro big time.
Yeah. You know what was crazy? I looked it up and I didn't have time to fully sort of like do the chain of who knows who and all of that. But it felt like they just got the cast from Think Like a Man to be in this movie. So maybe they were just filming it at the same time. Like,
yeah, that's possible.
Except for Kevin Hart. All those dudes are from Think Like a Man. It's almost like
funny.
They were like, hey, can you guys, while you're in Vegas,
like, hey, man, you're here.
Can you just shoot over like Turtles in it, the Michael guy, Romney. I just thought, like, the jokes, you know what are coming. You know, Kevin Kline, excuse me, and Morgan Freeman spinning in the bed.
Yeah.
Like, it's just sort of like, oh, the room is spinning and the bed is actually spinning. You're like, okay, I got to give you that one, right? That's like saying, wise guys, I got to give you that. Then there's a montage with people changing clothes. I've always liked that. I've always liked
that's hard.
The thumbs up, thumbs down.
That is hard to accept that people are still willingly like, yeah, let's fucking put this in a movie. And it's like not a joke. Like, it's one thing if it's a joke on itself, but this was, it was very seriously. I mean, this movie was very cookie cutter. It was funny to me that Jerry, is it Ferrara, right? Turtle?
Yeah.
Because this movie felt to me like Entourage. This was just Entourage with old guys. Like, it was very, very cookie cutter jokes. Nothing that bad ever happens. And when it does, they solve it immediately. Like, it's all just like, hey, we're just going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to do that in front of you, and that's what they're offering up. And I think, honestly, if I'm like, my grandparents probably fucking love this movie.
Yeah, it's for old people.
Yeah.
There was some, I don't know, watching it, I was like, I like watching these guys. You know what I mean? There was just something about, like, I didn't have to think at all, you know? Well,
you know, they were all really good actors, and they were all playing, you're familiar with, you know?
And they were all playing pretty much their roles that they always play, you know? They just showed up.
Yeah, they all feel like an archetype.
I'll tell you this, none of them seemed like they were phoning it in. And it felt like, it seemed like they were actually having, I was like, I bet they had fun filming this.
It was their Ocean's 11.
Yeah, it was. The thing is, it's sort of like, the thing, when you see the Michael Douglas character, right? That's, to me, from a realistic standpoint, they're all that guy. Like,
they're all that guy in real life.
They all have money. Like, I just wrote down, poor people get old and rich people age. So they're playing these guys who are like, oh, Vegas. But they probably all go to Vegas and they all hook up with young girls. I don't know, but I would.
I felt like if anybody phoned it in, I thought it was Michael Douglas. I thought he was kind of, he was the least essential. Like,
part
everybody
of my drinking
else,
game.
Like, there was times where De Niro was like sad, and it was like you felt it. And I was like, man, this guy's fucking sad. He lost his wife. And then Kevin Kline was just, he was hilarious.
He still moves.
Morgan
so
Freeman.
Well,
you know, Kevin Kline doesn't strike me as being old enough to be in this movie.
I don't think he's
yet.
As old as this other guy.
I think
guys.
It's just because his hair and his beard are white. They're like, yeah, fuck it, he's old.
Well, they want us to think he's old, but he's moving with such grace.
He was good. And I mean, you know, Morgan Freeman, too, he was just very, so much more lighthearted than you get to see him very often. So he was enjoyable in it.
He wasn't
a
scientist.
I thought Michael Douglas was just like, I don't know, he's there. He's looking super orange these days. That's great.
But they talk about it, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they acknowledge like he's a douchebag. and they're basically judging who he is in real life too, because I mean he's just, did he get divorced already, or are they getting divorced?
I think they're still
together.
They worked it out.
They worked it out even after he said he got cancer from going down on too many.
That
women.
Happened in the '70s or something. I think, yeah.
Oh, you mean in real life? I was I was like, did I see this movie?
Well, no, because I feel like Michael Douglas was. I mean, he was himself in the movie.
I felt like he captured Catherine Zeta-Jones and then just. Hit her away from us, and I think she's so beautiful, and I just think he should let her out.
I just miss her. That's just the heartfelt plea from Dave Waite.
I just, she hasn't been, you know.
Oh, she disappeared.
She disappeared. She was used to be in tons of movies. Maybe she, you know, I don't know, Hollywood's cruel to people, but she's only 44, so it looks good. You know, I'd give it to her.
I like that. I like what just happened. I mean, you know, 6 degrees of separation, so someone you know someone who knows her, and
yeah, but where is she? Getting to her seems
she's
impossible.
She's hidden on some island, I think.
She's on, I think it's a mountain lair. It's got a moat around it for sure.
And so and so Michael Douglas is, it's not, he's not going down on girls anymore. Is that what you're saying?
I think not anymore. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm buying that. He seems to really enjoy it. Let's get into these games before we run out of time here. Each week we do a handful of questions in relation to the movie and just kind of riff on them if we decide to give our guest permission to do so. The first one this week, you and your friends are really old. Where would be the last trip that you would take together? Dwayne, what do you think?
This one was tough, but I thought Prague.
Prague, how cultured of you.
I thought we could, you know, we could have fun, we could see all the great architecture, but then also maybe like do something for the government while we're over there, like you know, foil some terrorist thing while we're 80.
While we're being 80.
Yeah, yeah.
Do some light espionage.
Yeah, just a little espionage work, and you know.
Sure.
I've always wanted to go to Prague.
All right. That's, I mean, look, hey, it's your decision, man. I respect it. What do you think, Dave?
I think I would go to Key West. I went there year for New Year's Eve with my buddies, and we had a really awesome time. There's still a bunch of stories I remember from it. And I think, you know, I just go down there and get a Hawaiian shirt and listen to Jimmy Buffett and really lean into being white.
Yeah. That's like Key West.
Lean in.
Key West is like the old white guy paradise. Like it is all, it's like a Margaritaville come to life.
And you can like walk down the street with your, you know, margarita.
Have
and
drinks in hand.
Drinks
they have,
in hand.
They have nude bars there, which I didn't, I accidentally went into one. Saw a bunch of old dick. So if you're into that, that's an option as well.
Well, you mean the guys are nude too.
It's just everyone. It's naked. Like the establishment is naked. Yeah, and of course, you know there was like five women in there and 40 some odd old men, just balls everywhere.
That's tough.
Tough place to stumble into.
Yeah. Or, yeah, don't stumble while you're in there.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be reaching around in the
dark. It feels like Play-Doh.
For me, I said, I think Oktoberfest. I've never, always wanted to do that.
In Germany.
Yeah, and I think just go somewhere where you can drink yourself to death. Like, them going to Vegas and the whole staring at women thing seemed a little desperate. I assume my wiener's going to be broken. So let's just go drink a whole lot, eat a lot of pretzels, and die. Just,
there'll be hardy women out there in Germany.
Yeah.
You know, big you know, from a good stock. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, speaking of drinking yourself to death, make a drinking game out of it. Out of this movie, I said every time you think about how much Michael Douglas looks like Rango. He is terrifying now. Yeah. I can't. His face just looks like it's made of some other material, but his eyes are still so alive. It creeps me out. He looks like a lizard.
That's why he's a star.
A lizard in a white suit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my thing is every time Michael Douglas, my drinking game is every time he looks at the other guys with that stupid pride, like they're his sons. Like the whole movie, like you said, he's not really needed, right? So it's a lot of him looking at them like, these guys did it. Look at them.
They made families.
They're happy even though they're poor.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like kind of looking down on them like,
he's
bastards.
A dick.
Yeah,
I get why De Niro hated him. He was a dickhead.
They fucked their old wives and everything. Can you believe they fucked their old wives? These clowns.
And he still gets a younger woman. Like they make it seem like at the end, like he's grown up. She's still like 20 years younger than him. I mean.
Yeah, he goes because she's not 32 and he's what, you know, in his
70s. Yeah, yeah.
So he goes for like somebody in her 50s. It's like, all right, buddy, you know, we're not going to fucking heap praise
on
you.
Right, right.
You know? She is the go-to hot old lady, too, of late.
She really is, yeah.
She's always...
I know Susan Sarandon fell off a cliff, so... Yeah.
Well, she's in that movie where she tries to look older, where she plays...
Yeah, I saw that.
Melissa
I was
McCarthy's
like,
grandmother. I'm like, relax. Oh, yeah, come back. Come on.
Not there yet.
Don't do that to
not
her.
There
don't
yet.
Do that. I like Susan Sarandon.
Dave, what do you think for the drinking game, man?
Anytime a pill is referenced, take a drink. There's a lot of pill jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. The pill joke many. Is like throughout the thing. So anytime pill or I got to take my medicine or you know, boom.
What
knock
about
it back.
Every time a pill is referenced, you have to take a pill? A random one. You don't know what.
Wow. That would be your Las Vegas indeed. Hey!
That'd be great.
Zing. All right, let's jump ahead
I'm real
and do
good
this.
At comedy.
Let's jump ahead and do this last one because I don't know how there could feasibly be one, but if there was a sequel to this movie, pitch it. Dwayne, what do you got, man?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. The sequel, he's getting married, right, 58 days later. So they they go to Vegas again, or Thailand, wherever. they go to Michael Douglas's wedding, but they lose Kevin Kline.
They lose him?
They lose him.
Or like they lose, like does he die?
No. They just don't know where he is. Okay. Oh, no, matter of fact, let's lose Michael Douglas because he wasn't needed. So they lose Michael Douglas. And it's just like, it's literally The Hangover.
It
like,
is. Well, I mean, this is...
This is kind of, but it's like seriously just The Hangover.
This movie, I got in a Twitter battle with CBS Films over this film.
Oh, is that right?
Because when it was coming out, I made a joke about how like, how would an agent pitch this to an actor? And he says, well, it's like The Hangover, except the joke is that you're almost dead. And they immediately tweet back at me, or maybe it's that we got four Oscar winners in the same line. I'm like, all right, well, I wasn't fucking taking a personal shot. I'm making a joke. It started this big thing, and then a bunch of people started tweeting at them, making jokes about the movie, because I guess some intern that they had on their account was responding to each one personally. It was great. But the whole thing was, I mean, really, yeah, this is, it's like, hey, let's make The Hangover with old guys. It's a market we can hit.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's solid. I mean, they don't. It's not too much debauchery, but they're too old. You can't.
They try. They dance. Like they dance.
They can't get tasered and things like that.
Yeah. would have been amazing. Yeah. Dave, what do you think, man?
I think, man. Yeah, I think the funeral. I think you gotta. You just kill Michael Douglas, right?
Okay, so really lose him.
He's dead, and then you bring in some other old guy. It's like it's their old friend Ted or some shit, and then you get like I don't know who you get. You get some other old fogey in there and mix it up with these clowns.
Let's get Betty White in there. Get a little woman to it.
You get Betty White in there.
Betty White.
All right. So mine. I was actually a
maybe
weird...
you get Rickles in there. You get
there
Rickles.
You go.
Rickles.
I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I like
Rickles.
That.
But he's playing himself.
He's
and,
playing. His,
and he really knows
they
Vegas.
They meet him in Vegas. That's
yes,
great.
Yes.
I like
yeah,
it. I'm
like
on board that for that sequel. Mine is actually a weird mix of both ears. Very much The Hangover. Uh-huh. Mine is called Weekend at Patty's. They all get together for Michael Douglas's next bachelor party because he's about to marry this other woman. But they go to Thailand.
Oh, nice.
That's what you do in The Hangover Part 2. And De Niro gets run over by a bicycle rickshaw and dies. But they don't want to cut their trip short, so they party with his body the rest of the weekend.
Oh, like a weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, yeah. I like that you got that, Dwayne. Special guest cameos by Ken Jeong and Mike Epps.
Very nice.
Just squeeze them in there. I feel like we got to make that.
What I would buy this movie if, at the end, it turns out that De Niro was just in a coma.
Yeah, yeah, he was like,
and he wakes up.
He was alive the whole time. They kept him in like an ice chest or whatever the fuck they did. Oh man, that movie was rough. We need to do that one. All right, guys, that about wraps it up. Dave, thanks so much for hanging out, man.
What am I going to do with the rest of the night?
I don't know. You want to go watch a movie?
No.
I know you're looking for some camaraderie. anything you want to plug coming up? Twitter, you know, all that shit?
I'll be in North Carolina next week at the Dead Crow Comedy Club.
All right.
That's, next week. And DaveWaitComedy.com and Dave Wait at Twitter. Comedy. There's comedy at the end.
There's comedy in everything that Dave Waite does.
Yeah, Dave Waite comedy. And then, you know, buy my record, Hot Dog, and it's for flyover hipsters.
He is devilishly fun.
Devilishly, yes.
Devilishly.
DwaynePerkins.com, FunnyDP is the Twitter handle. Yeah. And
never fun.
Hot Chocolate for the Mind is the book on Amazon.
I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter. Check me out at the Nerd Melt Theater next Thursday.
Ooh.
And go to the Virgil last Tuesday of every month for Warp Zone Comedy. Thanks again, Dave. Great having you, man. I really like those little undertones. It feels good. Thanks for listening, guys. Tune in next week.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.